Welcome to New Thinking for a New World, a Tilburg Foundation podcast. I am Alan Stoga, your host. Each week, I bring you conversations with people who think differently about the great issues that are shaping our world. Geopolitics, disruptive tech, mass migration, the changing climate, culture wars, all of it is grist for our mill. I hope you enjoy listening. I also hope you will let me know what you think and that you join the conversation at tilburgfoundation.org. And now for today's episode of New Thinking for a New World. There is an American saying that there are only two things certain in life, taxes and death. Today, we're going to talk about the second of those, death, or to be more specific, about palliative care for families and individuals who are coping with death. Dr. Christian Nitsmira, a Rwandan surgeon, founded the African Center for Research on End-of-Life Care. He has thought long and hard about the social, psychological, cultural, and spiritual factors, as well, of course, as the physiological ones that shape the final days of someone who is dying. Of course, it's not just about the patient about whom he is thinking, but also family, friends, and community. Admittedly, death is not one of those topics that makes for comfortable conversation or comfortable listening. But as Shakespeare wrote for Julius Caesar, death, a necessary end, will come when it will. Welcome, Christian, to New Thinking for a New World.
Thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. We patients see doctors as people who are supposed to save us from death, at least as long as possible. As a physician, as a doctor, what made you focus your practice at the other end and the inevitability of death?
Thanks, Hala. Treating the disease and treating the person are two different concepts, because you can treat the disease without treating the person. But if you treat the person, you must treat the disease as well. So it's a two different concepts. The modern medicine focuses on the disease. The new medicine, we think, has to be the one focused on the person. And the most important thing, it's not about death, it's about life. And that is something really important in our culture, because I'm treating Rwandans with my culture as a Rwandan. And death is part of life, because life never ends. And that is something really important. And by focusing on life, it's about everything can support life until the end.
But you trained both in Rwanda and in the United States.
Yeah.
At Harvard. Two very different cultures, two very different approaches to both life and death.
Yeah.
How do you end up where you are in terms of your thinking about life and death?
Context matters. Context matters. In the U.S., it's totally different. Let's say, for example, patient autonomy. I was surprised in the U.S. that the patient can have in control to decide who has to be on board on management. The patient decides everything. But in Rwanda, you have the patient autonomy and you have the community responsibilities. So it's about both. You have the patient autonomy, community responsibility, which created an intersection for decision making, which is totally different. So it's not about what is good and what is bad. It's about how context matters. In the U.S., it's totally different because people think that palliative care is about death. In Rwanda, it's also contextually different because when people think about palliative care, it's life until the end.
But palliative care was not, my understanding, was not a term of art in Rwanda. It's something that you went through an experience as a physician that led you to begin thinking more systematically about palliative care.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experience.
So the experience is, unfortunately, we need to go back into the history on colonial period, how palliative care came to Africa. It came with a Western perspective focused on about death, which is totally different because in our culture, palliative care, even itself, the word palliative care is not yet translated in our local language. This is an English word. And even in French, you have a soin palliatif, which is totally different. But in our context, if you mention about palliative care,
and you have to use that term in English.
Yeah, we have to use that term in English, and you need to translate it in our local language. But if you need to translate it in our local language, palliative care means a response of suffering, just a response of suffering. It could be physical, it could be psychological, it could be spiritual, and it could be social. So you cannot just taking response to the suffering on physical and say the rest, we don't care. Because in most South African countries, people don't have access to appropriate medications. They don't have access to equipment. So, but you can say, because don't have access to medication, don't have access to equipment, doesn't mean there is no palliative care. That would be the wrong way of taking things. We cannot have access to appropriate medication, but people still there to release the suffering. And for us, and most of the, some of my experiences and some cultures, emotional and social pain are worse than physical pain.
You told me a story once about an incident in your career that got you to first think about how palliative care in this kind of way.
Yeah, after my medical school, my dream was to be a surgeon, because after the genocide against the Tutsi, I thought that be a surgeon would be the best way to rebuild the country and also to support patients and family members. And until I met a very young guy who was really dying in pain with liver cancer, and it was last stage. And he was screamed in the room. He was really screamed.
In a hospital. You're
in a hospital. I was in the hospital just after the medical school. And the sad story is man came to me and kneeled before me. I don't know if you can see that image and see old woman kneeled before me as a young physician.
You're how old at this point, about?
I was 29 years old. Yeah. And
did that make you uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable. Yeah, very uncomfortable. And that's time I feared to prescribe morphine, which is a strong opioid for people who have cancer. And I feared to prescribe because there were so many myths behind prescribing morphine. And I thought if I prescribed morphine and the patient died, I would go to jail.
And the patient was dying.
And the patient,
you knew as a doctor the patient.
Yeah, the patient would die, of course. But but why not releasing his pain? What's the question? Then I went back home. The patient died, unfortunately. And I went back home and questioned myself. But because I felt that I failed twice. I felt as a physician because
he died.
Because he died and I couldn't prescribe morphine. That was the difficult part of that. And also I felt as a wonder, because in our culture, when you see an elder person kneel before a young person, culturally you failed. So I went back home and questioned myself for the reason I spent so many years in medical school and I can't help someone dying. What the reason to wear a white lab coat with the stethoscope walking in a corridor if you cannot just release someone who's dying? What's the reason to be a medical physician if your role is just witnesses people who are dying? So, and from that perspective, I changed completely my dream to be a surgeon and become a palliative care passionate.
Thanks for listening so far. I hope you're enjoying the conversation as much as I have. If you haven't already, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and rate us on Apple Podcast. Now back to today's discussion, sponsored by the Stavros Niarchos Foundation, SNF.
Were there others doing palliative care at the time?
No.
So you were a palliative pioneer?
Yeah, kind of.
And how did you define that role? How did you begin to understand it? Where did you get the information from? How did you think about it?
Yeah. So when after that story, the government of Rwanda was, the Minister of Health was organizing a workshop of palliative care. It was supporting with an international organization. And I went in that workshop to learn more about palliative care. But surprisingly, after the 2 weeks of the workshop, it was not about the patient. It was about me. It was about my own suffering. It was about my own understanding about pain and suffering. And just I realized that mostly it's not about the patient and families. It's about us physicians. It's about how we treat others. And the patient and the families are just the mirror about our own fearing, about our lack of knowledge and our lack of skills. So it's in that context, slowly I start to realize that maybe we need to advocate for access to morphine. But it was not enough because patience is connected to the identity. So it's more about treatment. It's about the person. So if you mention about the person, you need also to focus about the community. How that person live in the community. What is matter for that person? How identity matter with management. So in that context, I just realized we need to reframe how palliative care is mentioned. So, and understanding context matters, I mentioned, which is could be different from one country to another country.
Let me ask a question about context. You're Rwandan, but you were born in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC,
yeah,
because your family had fled the genocide. You come back to Rwanda as a young man. How did that experience, do you think, affect your decision to become a doctor and then eventually your decision to move in the direction you moved in?
Yeah, actually, my family fled a long time ago in DRC, Congo. It's just after the genocide again. This was when they came back in Rwanda. And I mean, it's during the genocide again, the Tutsi, it was very horrible. I mean, when the stories and everything. And in 3 months, you can understand. It's not only 1 million people died in 100 days. Humanity itself seems lost that time. And I strongly believe that the
how old are you when the family
came? 15.
So you're 15.
Yeah, I was 15. Yeah. And I strongly believe that the concept of palliative care will contribute to bring back the sense of humanity we lost during the genocide. So the question is how? Because palliative care is not about withdrawing or withholding medications. It's about dignity, sense of humanity, and Ubuntu. Ubuntu, which is a strong African philosophy related and translated, and people are people through other people. And I'm strongly believe that in the context when the country is still rebuilding, even if it's 30 years after the genocide again, we palliative care also will contribute on that sense by bringing back the sense of humanity, by taking care about the patient and the family, about the environment, contextualize about the care, and also bring that sense of social culture perspective among patients, not necessarily prescribe medicine itself.
You work primarily in Rwanda.
Yeah.
But clearly the organization you established has the word African.
Yeah.
Your concept is much bigger than just Rwanda. But Rwanda has that unique experience that you just described.
Yeah.
Do you think it needs to be palliative care? Needs to be approached differently in different African countries or different parts of Africa? Or is there a commonality?
We have similarities. We share many things between African countries. But ideally, something I've learned from the last year, the mentorship program with Ulbricht, my mentor, she said something really important. They said, Christian, you need to work local and impact global.
Just for context, for those listening to us, you and a mutual friend, a Swedish physicist, actually, spent the last year working in partnership, in a mentoring partnership. That is a fundamental part of the Talbert Foundation's work.
Yes, exactly. And during that discussion, it's like you work in Rwanda, but think differently. Think the experiences of Rwanda can be inspire other countries. think how the way you think that palliative care can inspire all African. So it's why when I mentioned about African Center for Research, it's not about how we can export what we're doing in Rwanda to other countries. It's how we can inspire from where our experiences came from, a country which was starting from the ground, from nothing, and be able to reconstruct the country, rebuild the country, and then to be able to bring a different model of palliative care, not necessarily copy and paste from other side of the world, but how, learning from our own experiences, we can be able to drive something really important. It's about life. And I think part of the Thornburg vision and mission is that part about leadership. And the part of the leadership is not about to impose. It's about how you impact. And based on your impact, it's about your experiences, talks more than what you can say. And this is how our vision in the from our actual is to be able to inspire other African countries and say, we have resources. We have also our challenges, but let's learn from the best practices.
And receptivity? Are people in other parts of the continent receptive to thinking about palliative care and the directions that you're pushing?
Very much, because they now not fear again as before, because people think that palliative care equals death. And we just say, no, people know palliative care, you know, equal death. Palliative care, it's a response of suffering. It could be physical, that's one aspect. It could be psychological, that's another aspect. It could be social, and it could be spiritual. So if your country have some challenges in physical access to morphine, that's one thing. Can you cover the rest of the part? That we call holistic. You can cover on psychological, spiritual, and social. Because some countries in Africa, from my experiences, they are very stoic. They're using stoicism as a philosophy for on resilience of pain. But it's totally different for another countries where social and emotional pain as the most are something really important. And in our context, if you're losing the family in the community, is worse than access to morphine. That is something really important.
It's terror work.
Yeah.
Final question. What do you imagine you're doing 10 years
from now? That's a good question, Alan. The difficult question. I think part of that one of step is to sharing. And this is what I've learned also during my time in Thornburg, is how we can share. And I came to that perspective to write a book about the safari concept. And safari just means a journey in Swahili, but people think safari means animals and other things, which is not. It's just a journey from one place to another place. And in that context was to explain how using metaphor and culture could be a good languages and to bridge the language of the patient, the family, with the language of physicians. So in the coming 10 years, I see myself of sharing as what I've learned and received from my experiences and also received from my mentorship and received by networking. And this is something really important. And for example, last year from the Star Bosniak Course Foundation conferences, I was able to go there and talking about palliative care, and people was really surprised. And all of them after my presentation, they came and said, oh, we didn't know that palliative care is about life. I said, yeah, it's okay. That is part of the step. And I think sharing is something really important. And to have this platform, we can share and continue to sharing. I think that is my dream and my vision.
Well, that's exactly why I started out with death and taxes. No one wants to talk about death and taxes. But thank you very much for this conversation. Not about taxes, but about death.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Thinking for a New World. I'm Alan Stoga, podcast host, and I look forward to your joining our next conversation. Remember, tell us what you think at thelbergfoundation.org.